Grace, peace, and mercy unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the hymn that we just sang, of course, who's the one that sang Chief of Sinners? None other than the Apostle Paul, who writes today's text from 1 Corinthians that shows us that Jesus has died for our sins, truly does love us, truly does want to raise us from the dead, and can achieve all things, and we can believe all of these things by the power of the testimony of the witnesses who saw the risen Christ. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, this morning's message, check out catechesis. We pray, Lord, may be inspirational for us, that we may see indeed that there are many souls out there that are receptive to the gospel message, that want to hear about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. What a powerful message it is indeed. Amen. Please be seated. Well, the inspiration for this morning's message really began last Sunday after church. Isaac and I were in the checkout line at the grocery store, and Nancy, not necessarily her real name, Nancy the checkout girl, peppered us with questions. I'm always surprised when someone in the so-called quiet, reserved Canada asks questions about faith, but you know I shouldn't be. Because Jesus said that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. For those weak in faith concerning our Lord's word, of course, there are surveys. Christianity Today magazine, that I read from time to time, had an article earlier this year stating that people are much more willing to engage in faith-centered conversations than we ever might think. And that magazine article was from April 2017, in case you ever want to look that up. We need to get over the mindset that the soil for the seed of the gospel is all impenetrable rock. Now, some of it is, of course, but it isn't all impenetrable rock. Father, she said. I can't correct her. Sort of like Jennifer. Do you really believe all that stuff about Jesus rising from the dead? Does he have a body? Or does he take someone else's body, like in reincarnation? Now, I don't know her motives, whether she was sincere or just wanted to challenge us, but I have no reason to doubt that she was sincere. But even if she wasn't, whether she was sincere or just wanted to challenge us, it doesn't really matter, because such questions in a public place are like gold to an evangelist. She had cut to the quick concerning what is of first importance in the Christian faith: the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And no doubt this is the most important event ever. For if Jesus is raised in his body from the dead, we who believe also have the hope to be raised from the dead like him, to live and reign with him forever and ever. In the imminence of death, with so much tragedy around us, it can't help but beyond many a person's mind. If we are truly open our eyes around us, we'd see it. Do we not regularly pass by a cemetery in our travels? Have we not all experienced death in our own families? Have we not had to face and ponder these things? Well, I assured Nancy that the body that our Lord Jesus was born of, that he assumed, was the same body that died upon the cross, that was buried in the tomb and raised up on the third day. I told her that I believe this biblical account because of the witnesses who confirmed the story and the power of the Holy Spirit working through the living word to create faith in my heart. And then, probably not surprising, Nancy addressed Isaac and asked, "Have you ever seen a miracle? How do you know all this stuff is true? Is Jesus really coming back? And if so, how?" Now, Isaac didn't shrug his shoulders with a sheepish grin that you might expect from a teenager taken by surprise. He quoted the angel to respond to Nancy's question. The quotation that says, and he may have paraphrased it, but I'll give you the quotation. "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way that you saw him go into heaven." What a good question, quotation. There were real witnesses to these events, and that's why we believe. Unfortunately, our checkout catechesis couldn't be all that satisfying. I only bought $50 worth of groceries, and well, there were people lined up behind us, and I'm sure that they weren't there for the afternoon catechesis. They just wanted to buy their groceries, go home, cook supper, and get on with things. But someday soon, I'm going to be going back to that place. I'll give Nancy my card. I'll tell her to listen to today's message. She has, after all, inspired the topic, and the Holy Spirit has inspired a fuller response through the Apostle Paul, who had his doubters and critics alongside the sincere questioners and seekers. To such as these, he responded, emphasizing two reasons to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ that's also important for our future. The first reason are the witnesses to the resurrection. Many had seen the living Christ for 40 days, the 40 days of Easter, eating, drinking, teaching, performing miracles. The first readers and hearers of Paul's epistle could confirm what was written by simply talking to those witnesses who were still alive at the time of writing, when they were first reading this epistle in communities of faith. And people could just simply ask those who were witnesses. And secondly, everything which happened took place in accordance with the scriptures. I hope that when I read that text today, it became kind of a resounding refrain, according to the scriptures. Writings well known, mostly written hundreds of years before the very birth of Jesus Christ, gave details about the manner of Jesus' birth, life, death, resurrection, and even his ascension. And every detail was fulfilled right to a T. Now that's a reason to pause. But for the sake of brevity, I'll only give a few examples. But I think they should be ingrained in your minds, because God willing, you'll have some kind of opportunity like I do. Now, or like I did. You know, you might not all wear a clerical collar, but maybe you have a cross that's a pin, or you wear the Our Savior Lutheran Church t-shirt, or something of that nature. God can use all of these things. So what happens? What's in there? Paul says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures." Immediately, one of the main scriptures that comes to mind is Isaiah 53, where it says, "And he was pierced for our transgressions." Next phrase, "that he was buried." What are the scriptures? Isaiah 53 says again, and they made his grave of the wicked and of a rich man in his death. That he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. What scriptures? Psalm 16. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. And as for specifics concerning the third day, Jesus himself makes reference to the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Matthew chapter 12. And when Jesus rose up from the grave, Easter didn't end in a day. We have to remember that. Easter didn't just end. There were many to whom our Lord Jesus appeared over the 40 days before his ascension. The text goes on, first he appeared to Cephas. You know who that is? That's the Apostle Peter. Then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all of the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. Paul saying that. So how can Nancy, how can anyone else know for sure that Jesus certainly rose again from the dead for our sins, for our benefit, so we might live forever? It all happened in accordance with the scriptures. And everything is verified by witnesses at a time when there was no material advantage to being a witness of our Lord Jesus Christ and of his resurrection. In fact, it would result in persecution. So I believe these witnesses, many of whom were still alive at the time that Paul wrote. And the person of Paul himself, along with the witnesses from many walks of life, show us that no one, and I mean no one, is beyond redemption. For who was the Apostle Paul? Originally, his name was Saul. He was a murderer, and he was standing approvingly by as the deacon Stephen, innocent, his face shining like that of an angel, was stoned to death. But later Jesus came to Saul on the road to Damascus. Saul was led to holy baptism. He was led to become the Apostle Paul. And the blinding scales fell from his very eyes, and he knew the truth. He could see through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now there were women also, and I mentioned that even though they're underrepresented in this text, they come prominently in display in the gospel accounts. And I especially think of Mary Magdalene, whose commemorative day was July 22nd. The Bible says that she had 7 devils driven out of her and yet was later blessed with the title Apostle to the Apostles, since she had met the risen Lord in the garden and went to tell Peter and others the good news. Incredible. And to that we have to say, absolutely incredible. Too good to be true? Well, no way. For Jesus loves us, and he desperately wants to save us. We have a wonderful message to share. May the Almighty shower us with opportunity. May we have the courage to share. May God give us the tact and the discipline, the words and the time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ keep us in the true faith and the life everlasting. Amen.